Lord, we thank you so much for what we are here today to celebrate, the gift of your Son, Jesus. May the words that come from me, Father, be from you, that help us to understand the plan that you had, how it was fulfilled through your Son, that he sits now in your right hand, Lord, that he is our Savior, our Messiah, Lord. We thank you for that gift. May we be filled with your Spirit to help understand these words and be drawn closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know piggy banks originated over 600 years ago? People used to store their money in clay pots. The clay was called pig. That was the type of clay that it was. And as the years went on, people stopped using that type of clay, but yet those that remembered it would go to a potter and say, "Can you make me a pig bank?" So the potters, after a few hundred years, didn't understand about pig clay, so he made a bank shaped like a pig. Imagine the first person to get that was thinking, okay, but that's why we have piggy banks today, because of clay named pig. Did you know the Yubari King melon is the world's most expensive melon? It's described as tasting like cantaloupe on the front of your tongue, watermelon in the middle, and has a pineapple aftertaste. These perfectly round fruits, you can only buy them in pairs. They sold one time for $26,000 at an auction. I've had them before, they're really good. Anyway, the earth gains 40,000 metric tons of weight every single year from space dust that falls on it. But yet, the earth loses 50,000 metric tons every year. Go figure. Did you know winning the silver medal in the Olympics is the worst medal to win? The person that wins the bronze is happy they won. The person that wins the gold, but the silver medalist is left to wonder, what could I have done different? The former planet Pluto was discovered in 1930, but poor little Pluto, it never even had a chance to complete one year of being recognized as a planet before it was stripped of its title of a planet, because it takes Pluto over 230 years to make it one trip around the sun. Thus, it would have needed to be considered a planet until March 23rd, 2178. You know, you have a higher chance of dying on your way to pick up a lottery ticket than you have actually winning the lottery? And this is a mathematical formula I don't get. A scientist named George Prince found a mathematical formula for altruism, which supposedly proved that there's no such thing as a truly altruistic act. It's simply a mathematical formula. All right, so what does this have to do with Christmas? What does this have to do with anything? A bunch of arbitrary random facts that I just read off. The answer is nothing. Absolutely nothing. This has no point to anything. This was completely arbitrary. Well, I guess I can't say these are completely arbitrary, because to be arbitrary means I wouldn't have had a purpose or point. I do kind of have a slight point to all of this, but really these were mostly just arbitrary facts I came up with. Why then? Why would I have included these? Well, it's because as I was preparing for the sermon, I got thinking to myself, what's in a name? And so I Googled that. I typed in what's in a name. Google has everything in it, by the way. And that came up. But what was interesting, and this bothered me actually, was what came up when I typed in what's in a name. The first thing that came up, it said this: names are arbitrary labels. Please rise for the reading of our sermon text. Our sermon text today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You may be seated. Okay, arbitrary label, right? That's what a name is. But hear this out then and try to see how those fit. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whoever came up with that definition has never read Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Do those sound arbitrary to you? Do those sound just kind of random names that were given to Christ? Or do those names sound like they have a purpose and a meaning and a depth behind them? And so I want to examine those names this morning because they're the exact opposite of arbitrary. They signify all part of God's plan through Christ and what Christ means for all of us. Because the focus last night we've been talking about, and the focus of Christmas always is, it's the fulfillment of God's plan, the prophecies through the Messiah. And so this is what the Messiah is. And if you ever wonder about God's plan, well, you know, does God really have that great of a plan? Does it really work that well? I think such a teeny example actually comes from a text that we know so well around this time of year. You know, in Isaiah 7:14, it reads this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." But just to prove how God does have a plan with everything, do you know that prophecy was fulfilled actually for King Ahaz? It was said for King Ahaz. That prophecy was said for King Ahaz. It pointed to a boy to be born called Mehar Shalal Hash-Habaz. And the boy symbolized God with us because Israel was being oppressed by the Syrians, and so they actually tried to recruit the Assyrians to help them out. And God's whole point was, I will send you this son, Ahaz, and by the time he's old enough to speak, those two enemies of yours will be destroyed. What God did is he sent a deliverer for Israel on that level. But then what happened is, the way God always works, and the way to prove he's got such a grander plan then is in Matthew 1:23. Matthew quotes from this because now it's talking about no longer just this temporary ruler that showed God with us through this boy that restored Israel at the time, but now it's a whole different God with us. This restores all of mankind. Frees us, not from our earthly captors, but from that sin, the captivity of sin and the consequences of sin. So if God can be that specific on a plan, I think he's got a very good plan planned out with Jesus. So I want to look and study these names this morning. The first name in here, Wonderful Counselor. A counselor back in those times was somebody that worked with the king. They helped determine policies. They gave advice. The counselor was somebody very important. It was, in a sense, somebody that worked right alongside the king. And wonder at that time, that word wonder, wonderful, meant miracles, something from heaven. You're putting the two together right there, a heavenly counselor, somebody that was with God. And mighty God, well, that one doesn't need a whole lot of explanation, right? Except for the fact that, know this, no Israelite or Judean king was ever identified as mighty God, so it's not like that was a term that was just thrown around. This term referred to Christ's deity. Isaiah 10:21 even connects it to the Holy One of Israel. That's what mighty God means. Everlasting Father. Well, that right there explains the eternal nature of the Son. That was twice emphasized in verse 7, the eternal nature of the Son. Verse 7 talks about how the Son will rule eternally, and we'll focus more on that in a little bit of what his rule is going to look like. But you've got this everlasting Father, one who is connected to God, because as a father we understand that God is a God and we are his children in a loving, fatherly way. Forever. God cares about each and every one of us. And you notice the Trinitarian aspect too? This is the Son, yet referred to as the Father, the Holy One of Israel. Lastly, the Prince of Peace, how he's described. And this talks about his rule, what Jesus' rule is going to be like. There's going to be peace, no war, no fear of harm, of bad things. We don't worry about that kind of stuff. And he's loving, not a tyrant, but a loving prince. You know, if you stop and think about it, whether or not we want to be, whether or not somebody wants to be, it doesn't want to believe in it, we are all subject to God. He is our creator. We don't have a say whether we want to or not, right? But that's the amazing thing about Christ is the Prince of Peace. The rule that he will have is a loving and gracious, peaceful rule over us. No wonder we Christians love to worship God. No wonder we're here today on a Sunday to celebrate this loving and caring, compassionate God. So those are the names of Christ that are found in verse 6. I don't know about you, but those are some pretty powerful images there of his authority and of his deity and of his eternal nature. I don't hear anything arbitrary in there. These aren't just random names just kind of assigned, but this is all part of God's plan through Christ. We look at verse 7 then. It goes on to describe the kind of rule that Christ is going to have. And I love some of the descriptions that are found in here. I mean, these descriptions are so incredible what Christ is about. It just makes us want to look forward to it and awaiting it with excitement and joy. Because if you wonder and you think to yourself, well, is it really going to be that great? Stop and think about our last presidential election. All right? Nobody was particularly excited. It was real negative. And that's what happens, because you see this happened back with the Israelites. They had what was called a theocracy. God was their king, and they said, no, we don't want you anymore. We want an earthly king, because everybody else has one. So it's fine, but you're going to have a lot of problems. And this is what the world is led with when we just trust in people to rule over us. You're based on the whims of people and how they're going to act and their behavior and their own fallen nature and prone to sin. But instead, with Christ as our ruler, listen to how we're going to live. Peace. Describe the first thing in verse 7 is peace. You know, we know peace fairly well here in the U.S. I know that there's certain things that can make us a little nervous or uncertain, but if you stop and think about it, this has never been a war-torn country. We're not in fear every single day here in the USA. So we think we know peace, but actually, if anything, I might say that our riches made us more at war on the spiritual realm. There is constant battle for our heart and our mind. Sin is constantly after us and trying to attack us here. But if you think about Christ's reign and the peace he brings, it isn't just going to be a peace from our earthly enemies. Instead, it's a peace from sin and the consequences of sin. He's freed us from that. We're only going to know peace when Christ rules. It's the only way we can ever know that. If you think about Revelation 21, Revelation 21 describes the New Jerusalem. And one of the descriptions in there in the New Jerusalem is the city will have gates, and those gates will never close. Why do you close gates? To keep something out. They don't close. There's no need for them to close. We have nothing to fear anymore. There's nothing but peace with Christ's reign. And justice and righteousness is how he's going to rule us all. Stop and think about that. Everything in the kingdom of God is fair. Justice and righteousness, everything is good and right. I think maybe our biggest frustration is how many, raise your hand if you really feel that our politicians have your best interest in mind. I didn't see one single hand. If you raise your hand, I think you know. And I think we do that. We sit there and we think that these people are only trying to help other people out. There's inside things, there's money here and stuff. We don't really feel they're looking out for us. But we have a king that we look forward to. Justice and righteousness. Oh, we can trust that, and I just look forward to that day. And not only that, but I want to go back to our readings from today. Listen to Hebrews 1, verse 3, our epistle reading. It said, he is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by his word and his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you pick up on all that? What Christ is all about and all that he's done for us. The radiance of the glory of God. Do you know what it talks about in that city as well? That the city has no need for light because God's radiance, God's glory will light up the city. And that's what it's talking about with Christ right there. It's God's radiance. It's Jesus Christ that's radiating that city that we look forward to from our ruler. John 1, 16 and 17. Listen to how our ruler is described as well. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we have a ruler as well. Grace upon grace. We're so undeserving of that grace from our Creator, yet he gives it in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Grace and truth. This, my friends, is why we're so joyful here in this Christmas time of season. We understand not only what God did for us here on this earth through Christ, but we look forward to what Christ has done for us and what we can experience eternally with him as our Lord. And it made me so grateful to read all this, because all of a sudden, if you understand all of this, that there is nothing arbitrary about God's plan. This isn't some randomness. But instead, this has all been planned out, which makes it so magnificent that God has all this plan about how he's going to redeem us. And what we can experience then when Christ is our King. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of such an amazing and divine plan, a plan that through your grace, beyond grace, Lord, you have redeemed us through Jesus Christ. That eternally, Lord, he is our King and our ruler, and we can praise you, Lord God, eternally. Lord, we look forward to that day. I pray, Lord, now that in our lives we may live our lives filled with the joy of what we anticipate to come, that the light that's in us we may shine to others, that they too may have that hope and joy that we experience through knowing you. Fill us with your Spirit, Father, to share these words with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.